everyone. I'm Sandy Caldwell, and welcome to the 35th episode of Quilt Cabana Corner. I hope that you will grab your coffee, tea, hot cocoa, water, whatever you're having today, and pull up a chair and join me. So it has been a while since I podcasted, for which I apologize. I think the last time I podcasted was before Christmas, and, well, Christmas happened. It was fabulous. If you were dying to know, I did indeed win the Christmas tree light competition with my neighbor. Yes, yes, I did. So he can try again next year and see if he can beat me with my 5 a.m. wake-up time. I will say my electric bill was a little bit high, and that might have had something to do with my Christmas tree being on at about 2:33 a.m. every day during the holiday season. But hey, I won. So, the other way I know that it's time for me to put out a podcast is because when my head starts filling with all these things that I want to share with you all, I start to talk to myself in the car. And I talk to myself as if I'm recording a podcast right then and there. So, I'm definitely like the Looney Tunes lady who you pull up to at the stop and sign, and you're like, what the heck is this lady doing talking to herself? So, which is also what I do when I listen to podcasts. I talk to myself then, too, because I'm agreeing with you guys, and I'm like, you know, laughing along with whatever the podcasters are saying that's funny. Usually I'm not disagreeing because, by and large, I think, you know, all us quilters are on the same page for most of the time. So, yeah, it's time for a podcast. I got my sewing machine back. Well, let's just start with, like, updates. So, my sewing machine, my good one, my Viking Sapphire, that's computerized that I love. It has a 10-inch throat space. It's wonderful. I don't send my quilts out to be long-armed or anything, so when I'm quilting, it's me doing the dreaded stack and fold and stuff, as we all do when we're quilt free motioning or doing regular quilting on a smaller machine. So for some reason, on a project that I was working for, which was kind of an important project, went in a magazine, I had the worst time with my thread breaking about every couple of inches. It would just shred and break. So, of course, I did everything that we all know how to do. I changed the tension. I changed the thread orientation. I used a cone. I put the cone holder on the table. I put the cone holder on the floor. I changed needle sizes from everything from 70 to 100, titanium, regular, metallic needle, every needle, every combination of things that I could think of. And I had a few choice words for the machine, too, I'm not afraid to say. I walked away from it. I came back to it. Now, it was a project made with batiks. I don't know. Maybe the thread count was so high, but I was using Orifil thread. I've never had a problem with Orifil thread and my free motion quilting before. So the only explanation I could come up with was that there was something sharp in there. So I took it to the shop. I dropped it off. I put a long note taped to the machine saying these are all the things I tried. And they told me it would be about 2 weeks or better. So it was actually done like on the sixth business day. Say that 10 times fast. Sixth business day. I went back to pick it up and the man who worked on it wasn't there. But the lady said, oh, okay, well, he cleaned it and serviced it and adjusted the timing and did what sounded routine to me. It didn't sound like they actually found anything, which is sort of like going to the doctor's office and being told you have a virus, nothing we can do for you, go home. So I have the machine here. I did some regular quilting on it. I have not tried free motioning on it yet because I will do that next week when I pull out Leah's turtle quilt and try to get that quilted for her. So the funny part in all of that was that the day that they called to tell me that the machine was ready, I was home. And I will preface this by saying that for some reason, My family is very lucky when it comes to winning things. Trivia contest, Greg's got that all wrapped up all the time. He wins t-shirts, he wins all kinds of prizes. Radio contests, yep, Greg won the Harry Potter movie premiere trip to New York and took Amanda, I think that was 2 years ago. Ever since I've been a little girl, I enter contests and somehow I'm very blessed to be able to win something. So, of course, I haven't won the Dream Studio or the Long Arm Machine yet, but that doesn't mean I'm not trying. So anyways, having said that, and even at the music school, when they have a raffle, they're always like, ugh, the Caldwells right here, they're going to win it. And we sometimes do. So knock on wood, I hope that doesn't change our luck at all, but just seems to sort of be the way we roll. So I enter a lot of things through blogs. Everybody's always giving something away. And as the Twilters know, I even won Daisy's quilt. Which is fabulous and I love it. Keeps me warm every night. Thank you, Daisy. Anyways, so the phone rang and what flashed across the caller ID was Bernina, USA. And I was like, Bernina, USA? What are they calling for? And then I was like, oh my God, I wonder if I won a Bernina. Or, I don't know, maybe they saw one of my quilts in the magazine and they want to talk to me. Right? Total pipe dreaming right there. But I was like, oh my God, Bernina. So I pick up the phone and I'm like, hello? And they're like, Sandra? And I'm like, yes, I'm Sandra. And he goes, your sewing machine's ready for pickup. I was like, oh, awesome. And it was awesome. I was glad to be able to go pick it up. But I don't know, it just flashed through my mind because I've won things like, oh my God, maybe I won something like a Bernina. So, yeah. No, I didn't. But that's okay. I got my machine back. That makes me happy. So that was the funny of the week. Okay, so things I'm working on. The music school raffle quilt, which is a double slice layer cake. And that's on my new design wall. I had a gift card to Joanne's from Greg for Christmas, and I picked up a Fonz and Porter design wall, and I had a 40% or 50% off coupon. I paid like, $14 or something for it. So I used some 3M hooks and attached it to two hutch cabinets that I have side by side, which is good and bad. Good because it covers up the mess of the stuff that's on the shelves. Bad because it really should be on a flat wall so that I can press the fabric pieces to it, because I laid out this huge double slice layer cake on it and I ended up having to pin it because the fabric was starting to fall off. So for small projects, perfect. Really, I wish I had another place to hang it, but I don't. So I'm just going to suffer with it there and just be glad that I have a design wall to at least hang some things on. So anyways, where was I going with this? Oh yeah, things I'm working on. So I'm working on that. As I mentioned, I'm going to pull out Leah's turtle quilt, which was the reverse applique, and I'm going to try to get that layered and basted and start the free motion on that. I just wrapped up a project for Quilters World, and I have submitted a couple other things to them that I'm waiting to hear on. One is a project that I've actually already made, so I'll just have to type up instructions for that. And the other I will have to make from scratch if they so desire it, which is kind of how these things go. Especially when you're designing stuff on EQ7, you send them a proposed sketch and, you know, they yay it or nay it or send it back with what they want you to make it out of. So sometimes it does not pay to already have your project done. But I find when it's fusible applique, it's fine because generally, those types of projects are made with scraps anyway, so I've been working on that. I will have a new pattern releasing with Quilt Woman by the end of the week. It's a table runner, and it's called Happy Cupcakes, and it's adorable, and I will put that on the blog as soon as it's up. And mostly, I think I'm just working on pattern writing and listing some things to Craftsy as well. And I'm thinking, I mentioned this on my blog today, thinking of extending my business to include some t-shirt quilt making. I get requests for t-shirt quilts a couple times a year, and I always back away from it, not wanting to deal. And then I thought, well, that's silly. Why not? That's a good way to make some money. People make decent money doing that. So I've asked my niece and nephew to give me some t-shirts. My kids didn't have enough of one kind. Like, Leah wants a t-shirt quilt with her dance recital t-shirts. And this will be her 10th year dance recital. So she actually will have enough, but she likes to still wear them. So I got to wait, another couple of years to do that. Amanda has a bunch of band t-shirts, but she's still wearing them. So my niece and nephew, Rachel and John, they're involved with baseball and skating and band, all kinds of things. And I feel like they always have a zillion t-shirts. So they're each going to look for like 9 or 12 t-shirts to give to me just to get a few more quilts and techniques down. I'd like to try to time how long it takes me to make them and how much it costs for me to make it. And also experiment with backing them with polar fleece. Now, I see on some people's sites, they are turning them like pillowcase style. So if they're backing them with polar fleece, there's no need for batting or binding, which allows them to give a quick turnaround. So if you have experience with using polar fleece as a backing on one of these things, could you drop me a line and let me know how you find that to be? Because the only t-shirt quilts that I've made, I've backed with cotton quilting fabric, which is great. It looks great, but I think the polar fleece might give it some snuggability, if you know what I mean. So that's pretty much what I'm working on. The kids are on vacation as of 2 o'clock this afternoon and 3 o'clock for Leah. So I don't know how much quilting and work I'm going to get done next week, which is why I really wanted to get this podcast out today. Not to mention the fact that I'm really behind with the podcast. The other thing I'm working on, actually I just got back from the post office this morning, was my next 100 blocks block for volume 10. My block was not selected for volume 9, which I'm bummed because I have 3 of those coveted Quiltmaker 100 blocks mugs, and I really, really, really want another one. 100 blocks is not something that you are paid for. You get a fun button, and you get a mug, and you get bragging rights, I guess. So, and to be included in the blog tour, which is always fun. So I'm a little disappointed because I love the block that I had sent them, but obviously it just didn't meet their needs, although they said they would like to hold on to it for consideration for volume 10, but that I could also submit something else. Since I was planning to submit something else anyway, I've gone ahead and done that, and I like it just as much as the other one, so I guess they'll have 2 to choose from me. If they even do that, they might just say, throw out the last one and do this one, and you don't get your blocks back, whether they accept it or not, so that's a little bit of a bummer, but that's all right. So let's see, I'm working on that. Let's go right into what I'm reading. I'm reading Olive Branches Don't Grow on Trees, I think is the name of the book. I blogged about that earlier this week. That was a freebie on Kindle, and so far it's very good. This since Christmas, I've read The Rosie Project and Me Before You. Both were excellent. If I had to say which one was better, I would say Me Before You. Jojo Moyes, these were all suggestions from Tanisha, and they ended up being our book club choices for the last 2 months. So book club is at my house this week on vacation, and we'll be discussing Me Before You. And I have to say that book was fabulous. It's a book that really, really stays with you after you read it. I can't wait to read more of her books. The character development is wonderful. You really, really care about the characters in this book. And it's really fantastic. If you haven't read it, I definitely, definitely recommend doing so. Let's see, what else is coming up? Lots of things are coming up at the end of this month for me. It's going to be a fun and busy month. Next Saturday, the 22nd, is my birthday. I will be turning 43. And this will begin my year of random acts of kindness. The goal is 43 of them. I'm hoping to be done long before the year is out. I've been doing some random acts of kindness, of course, all along, but I'm going to track them starting on February 22nd. The high holiday, as my family calls it. Not my kids and husband, but my mother and my sister, they call it the high holiday because I always make a big deal out of my birthday. Or at least I used to. I don't think I do anymore. I think they just think I do. So, whatever. So it'll be fun. We're going to go. There's an area called the Hingham Shipyard that we have yet to explore. That's not too far from our house. There's restaurants and shops. So I'd like to go take a look at that. And we'll go out to eat somewhere down in there. And it should be a fun day. It's a Saturday, so that's even better. And then the following weekend is my annual Craptopia Getaways Scrapbook Retreat with my girlfriends and my sister-in-law and my cousin-in-law. And it's just so much fun. It's like a sewing retreat. You pack a million things and a million snacks and you go and you have fun and you scrap your brains out. And it's really great. There's door prizes and contests and really good food. It's at the Mystic Connecticut Marriott, which is always nice. And they also offer chair massages and stuff. I think it's like 10 bucks for 15 minutes or something. So I've been signing up for those because my back is always killing by Saturday afternoon. That seems to be the problem. We sit there hunched over for Friday, like say like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock until Sunday noon time. And our stomachs are always killing us by the end of it because we don't sit up straight and we don't take enough, you know, breaks. No, I wish I could tell you. I know there's lots of things to see in Mystic because we have gone out to eat down there or whatever, but I haven't done the whole big Mystic Connecticut thing for all the years I've been down there because we never leave the hotel. No one wants to leave the scrapbooking long enough to go explore other things. Plus, I don't know why, but Old Man Winter just loves the last weekend in February for this event to snow on us all the time. It's always bad weather down there. Always snow. Always, always. So we will be there for that weekend. I'm working on a scrapbook album for Lindsay. Each of my kids have a baby scrapbook album, and each of them now have a Project Life album completed as well, which they'll each get 1 year of our lives captured in a Project Life album. And this fourth year that I'm doing it now will be for Greg and I to keep. So in addition to that, when Amanda was 12 or 13, I had put together an album with some letters written to her from her teachers and family members and friends and, you know, basically to cover from the time she was one until she was 12 and all the things that she was interested in. And it was a chance to use, you know, lots of photos. Ooh, that's my phone. I'm going to pause for 1 minute. Sorry about that. And no, it was not Bernina calling again with my real sewing machine winning. it's actually a telemarketer, which means my cell phone's probably going to go off next. They seem to have me on both numbers. Anyhow, so I'm working on Lindsay's album like that, and then I will do one for Leah. I'm also thinking that I have probably close to 1,000 pictures from our Hawaii trip that I have not done anything with. I need to go through them on the laptop, pare it down to, you know, choosing ones that aren't duplicates, and then figure out whether I'm going to scrap the trip, which I scrapped the trip in 2008. Leah thinks I should definitely scrap it. I don't think she realizes that that would then push back her album that I should be making her to do the Hawaii one. And the truth of it is, I just don't have a lot of time to scrap anymore. And I wish I did, but I don't. So these Hawaii trip photos might just go in a regular photo album. I don't know. It's so hard to decide. I have all this great scrapbooking equipment and just no time. And I always say, okay, I'll do it on Fridays because I try to do quilt work for Quilt Cabana Monday through Thursday. And then I try to have like a fun Friday, but it doesn't always work out because sometimes I'm cleaning, sometimes I'm errand running and all that. You know how it is. I don't even need to explain. So anyways, we'll see. We'll see how it goes, how far I get with Lindsay's album. But already I feel behind in the scrap packing because everyone's already got their photos organized and they sound like they're ready to go. And I'm like, huh, haven't gotten there yet. So, but I will. I will. Let's talk about the postcard swap. So if you're not on Twitter or Facebook, You may not know that there's a postcard swap because I am a terrible podcaster this month and I never even got a podcast out about the fact that it was happening. For that, I apologize profusely. There's a spring postcard swap happening, very similar to the holiday one we had, and the postcards are due to be exchanged before the first day of spring. So we have about 12 people participating, and I'm super excited about that. I think it's going to be fun to see everyone's spring designs. And I will tell you that I will do it again for the summer and for the fall. We'll do it for the year, and I will do it, and I will try very hard to podcast about it before it begins so you have time to sign up. I know that Frances mentioned it on her podcast, I think last week, and she was like, oh, I think, you know, the time's already gone by to sign up. It has for the spring one, so I will make sure that you're informed before the summer one. But yes, that will be lots of fun. Definitely lots of fun. Here's something interesting I just want to share with you. I'm just looking at my little list on the phone. I was catching up with some of my Quilt Show episodes, and I was watching an older one. I think it was from last year. Could have even been the year before, from Sue Nichols. And she was showing and talking about how she quilts feathers. And I thought it was just worth mentioning for those who like to quilt feathers or even just any type of an echo quilting. She does her feathers and then she echoes them. Let me rephrase all that. So when she does the echoes on her feathers, she does the echo 3 times. But on the last echo and for the stippling around it, she uses a lighter thread color, which she feels gives her quilt more depth and definition. And I thought that that was a good thing to mention to you because I know a lot of people are working on their feathers. And because you can really apply that on any area of your free motion quilting, that if you sort of switch up the colors of thread that you're using and then sort of fade out on your echoes with a lighter color, that definitely adds a lot of depth to the quilt. So I just really wanted to mention that. I thought that that was a cool thing. So I did see that. I don't have any magazine things to talk about because I looked through all my magazines and I didn't dog ear any pages for some reason. And I also have not gone back onto my iPod to see if there's a new issue of Quilting Arts that's waiting there digitally for me. That's one of my favorite magazines and my only digital one. And I love it, and I always get something new out of it all the time, so I really do like that. And let's see, if I look at my list, I'm almost through my list. I wanted to tell you the story of Janet. Janet is someone who owns the local quilt shop that just recently closed near me. Her shop is in Middleborough, Massachusetts, and it's about 25 minutes from my house. And Janet had a lovely shop, such a great shop. And she was the first person, the only person really, who would give me the time of day when I first set out with my patterns in 2009, I think it was, to sell them. I had gone to the bigger local quilt shop, which had a woman there. She was so miserable. She was so mean to me. I had brought in, you know, a bunch of different quilts and quilt patterns to show her, and I was terribly nervous, of course, because I'm not a person who sells myself well. And she was just so mean. I had, you know, some for spring, but maybe it was winter. I don't know. And she was just like, why would I even look at this? It's not even the right season. I mean, she was terrible. She was so terrible to me right out open in public that the people around me, the workers, you know, were just kind of like, you could tell they felt bad for me. And they were rolling their eyes about her. It actually turned out she's a twinner. Her twin was the one who serviced the machines there. And he was very nice. So I think that actually behind her back, around town and in that shop, they called her the evil twin. And she kind of was. So I left that store so dejected. And then I talked to my mother on the phone. She said, just drive right down to that shop in Middleborough. Those ladies down there seem so nice. I was like, oh, God, do I really want to put myself through that? Because I was already like, you know what? Forget it. Just not even going to do this. So I did. I drove down there. And no, I didn't. I came home and I called. The girls were coming home, so I had to go home. So I called her shop, and she was so lovely. And she said, oh my gosh, we love local quilt artists. And yes, come on down tomorrow morning. And she had me come down before the shop opened. I brought all my patterns. I laid them all out. She offered to look at my patterns. She bought some that day to sell. And she ended up doing my book signing for me when my book came out. It's just so awesome. Janet, if you're listening, I love you. Love you. And over the last couple of years, you know, her shop actually, the size of it was cut in half. And, you know, it got smaller, but her fabric was always so beautiful. I mean, if you really wanted something beautiful, you went down to her shop. And even till the day she closed, she had beautiful fabric. All my quilts were hanging on display down there, everything. So I was very, very, very sad when I heard that she had closed the shop. And I was like, oh no. You could see the writing was on the wall. And a couple of times I went in there, like I would go in there and we would just sit and talk for like, I don't know, an hour. She's just, you know, such a great person to talk with about the industry. She's been to quilt markets before and just a lovely, lovely person. And when I called her house to say how sorry I was that the shop had closed and to make arrangements to pick up my display quilts or whatever. I did get to talk to her, but she said basically, you know, it's tough right now for local quilt shops. So many of them are closed. And then another one that's about 45 minutes from my house that looked like they were doing a booming business. The place was busy when I went in it. A little too far for me to go, but especially when I had Janet's store there. Closer, they close too. So I don't know, support your local quilt shops because it's really very sad, especially when she had such a beautiful, beautiful shop. So I wish Janet well. I know she was going to head out to the few shops that are open around us and maybe do some teaching. And I wish her all the best, all the best. She was really there for me. So support your local quilt shops. That's your public service announcement for this episode. And in fact, I have two. And the other one is to remember to please wear your klutz glove when you are using your rotary cutter because I almost cut across the top of my hand the other day because I wasn't wearing it. I sort of just stopped wearing it. One of those things, you buy it, you wear it, and then you don't. So put those gloves on because that really would have been horrible. If that cut had gone in the direction it was heading before I got a hold of myself, it would have been a disaster. So put that klutz glove on, even though it's not very fashionable, and wear it. Let's talk diet and exercise for a minute. I know a lot of us have our Fitbits, and we're on the group for Fitbit, and we're talking about it, and we're wearing it, and we're trying to keep up with Terry, and we're never going to, and Pam, and everyone, and Jackie, who have all these high steps, so I think it's fabulous. Mine right now is sitting right here on the desk in front of me. I'm pretty sure the battery's dead. And I had started Weight Watchers, I think, on the last time that I talked about it. I hadn't joined it. I was just using the tools that I had and going to do it. And I lost a couple pounds. So now I'm back where I gained those couple pounds back. I'm watching my desk wear the Fitbit instead of me. And I have a wedding coming up in May that I would like to wear a pretty dress to. So I'm feeling a little stressed about the fact that I have no stick-to-it-ness at the moment. And I don't know why. So I've been looking into the group TOPS, which is Take Off Pounds Sensibly. And it's something where they have meetings at the library on Friday mornings, which is my fun Friday. And I'm not spending my fun Friday at a TOPS meeting. So you can actually join online as well. It's $28 for the year. You get their magazine, you get their tools, you get like a weekly email from like a coach or whatever. And it sounds good. And I think that they do like food exchange, you know, like grains and proteins or and dairy, and you have a certain amount a day. So like Weight Watchers, but not Weight Watchers. To be honest, I'm sick to death of Weight Watchers. I'm desensitized to it almost. I've learned to work my way around it and just fall back into my old habits. I just feel like I need something new. So I might give this TOPS thing a try. And it's I don't know. It looks like people are really, really successful. Has anyone out there tried it? If you have, let me know. I'm thinking maybe, I don't know, by the end of the weekend, I'm probably going to join it and see if I can psych myself up for something new. No, my problem with moving and fitness is that it's freezing out here. It's so, so cold. It's not good walking weather. And in fact, my whole house is cold. We pay an awful lot of money for our oil every couple weeks. And excuse me, the house still feels cold even though the heat's on. So I don't know. It's so, and this is all leading to the fact that the treadmill is in the very cold, unfinished part of the basement. So I don't feel like going down there either. That leaves me with walking circles in my house or doing those Leslie Sansoni walking videos. If you've ever done those, the problem with that is that I know those videos by heart. I know every joke she tells. I can actually do the scripts right along with her. I could be doing that. So I don't know. I need to do something, but I might just start with the tops and see how that goes. But I want to congratulate everybody out there who's doing so well with their Fitbits, because really, it's so great. And it is inspiring. Problem is, I just can't stick with it right now. I don't know why. So that's that. Other than that, we're going at 30 minutes here. I don't think I have too much else going on to share at the moment. I'm going to try to be back sooner rather than later on the podcasting front. I really took quite a bit of a break there, but the kids were busy and all that kind of stuff. So I hope that y'all have a very happy and quilty couple of weeks here. Again, I will be back hopefully sooner rather than later, and we will continue with the spring postcard swap and get ready for a summer postcard swap. All right, you know where to get me. SoSandy8@yahoo.com. SoSandy8@yahoo.com. My website is www.quiltcabanapatterns.com. You can get to the blog from there or just add /blog at the end. And be sure to check out some the new patterns that are going to be coming out with the Quilt Woman. As I mentioned, the next one will be called Happy Cupcakes. So until then, we'll see you later. Have a very happy Valentine's Day too. Bye-bye.